Our scripture today is taken from the 14th chapter of Luke's gospel, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 14 today. The words are up on the screen. Let's read together. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Good to be with you today. And go Astros. You know, I woke up. I dozed off, and then I woke back up about a quarter of 11, just in time to see the three-run shot, and then I went back to sleep. It was over at that point. Good things. All right. When I was a kid, my two sisters and my brother and I were young. My brother and I were in junior high, and so one Saturday, my parents made us all dress up in our church clothes and hauled us in our station wagon to the First Methodist Church in Liberty, Texas, the Fellowship Hall, and because that's where my grandparents were having their 50th wedding anniversary reception. So for 2 hours, we had to be in our little, you know, bow ties or whatever we have, and behave ourselves. That was really, really a long 2 hours. Towards the end of the reception, though, my dad came up to me, and he just pointed this guy, an older fellow who was sitting in one of the metal folding chairs that was lining the walls of the church fellowship hall. And we'd seen him. He was sitting there with his wife. He looked like he was maybe in his 80s and, you know, not really anything special to look at. You wouldn't have really paid attention to him because he looked like all the older guys in the room. He had a little black suit and a white shirt and a little skinny tie on, and he had a white Stetson hat. That's what some of the men used to wear back then in Liberty, Texas. And it was either in his lap or sitting in the chair next to him. But we didn't pay attention to him. We'd seen him, but we really had not noticed him. And then my dad said, "Did you know that that man over there used to be the governor of the state of Texas?" And my brother and I kind of woke up, and all of a sudden we started looking at this fellow with new eyes because we had not noticed him before and really had just been ignoring him before. But now this guy who had been a nobody was a former governor, so he was in our eyes now a somebody. I wonder if maybe there's something of that in the teaching that Jesus says today in terms of how we live our life and in terms of how we should be regarding other people. Because isn't it tempting for us to look around us and sometimes simply look the other way at many people we see? Isn't it tempting for us sometimes to ignore people or to disregard people? And yet Jesus is calling us to look at everyone in the world with his eyes. And that is to understand that whoever you are, we are all children of God, and we should all, in terms of the attitudes and the treatment that we offer towards one another, we should try to lift each other up. All the nobodies that we might be tempted to think are nobodies are, in fact, in God's sight, somebodies. And that is the verse that we have today. He said, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you." What was so radical about these words in his day? You need to understand, first of all, in Jesus' time, in the first century, when you ate with someone else, particularly in a formal dinner setting, if you ate with someone, it basically constituted a social contract, a social contract. When you ate with someone else, you were extending your friendship to them, not just on that day, but permanently extending your friendship. When you ate with someone, essentially you were saying, "This person is my social equal. Now, if we look at our culture today and make a casual observation, people do sometimes tend to be a little choosy about who they eat with, at least some people do. But we live in a society that treats people a little bit more equally, certainly, than in Jesus' day. And so the idea that when you're eating with someone, that's a social contract, that's really not in play. But in Jesus' day, when you ate with someone, that was a really, really big deal. And that's why it was true that when Jesus ate with the tax collectors, who were the most despised people in the community, or he ate with the people who were the known sinners, this was very controversial because Jesus essentially was extending God's friendship to those for whom society would have considered that happening to be taboo. So that was one of the things going on in his day that was different from today. And today, in another sense, when we think about people who are successful people, we think that's a good thing. We look up to people who are successful generally. But in our country today, unless you happen to be born rich, it's more common when we look at people who are very successful, we think about how they got there. We think about their talents. We think about how smart they are or perhaps their giftedness. So success today is definitely something that offers people a sense of status, but you need to understand in Jesus' time, successful people in the popular mindset were considered to be favored by God. Now, this was not the way Jesus looked at people, but in the popular view in his time, if you were a wealthy person or a well-to-do person, you were considered to be especially blessed by God. That was the way people tended to regard those who were well off. And the people who were well off were considered themselves to be superior to the people who were poor, the people who were disadvantaged in Jesus' day. And again, this was not Jesus' view. It was what many, many people thought. And so in his time, it was better, people thought, to socialize with the people who were the wealthy people, to hang out with the well-to-do people, because they thought those were the people who were in with God, and those are the people that you should hang out with. So that was another added element in this teaching that made it very, very radical. A third thing was this. Back in Jesus' day, if a person had some kind of physical affliction or infirmity, or even was suffering from some sort of mental illness, in the popular view, again, this is not Jesus' view, in the popular view, it was still regarded to be perhaps punishment for sin. Now, we have a hard time thinking about that because it's simply not true. And it was not the way Jesus viewed people. But many people back then thought if you were suffering, you must have done something wrong. Or perhaps someone in your family had done something wrong. In Jesus' day, there were people who suffered from skin diseases like leprosy. And not only were those people considered to be religiously unclean but also and cast out of society because of that, but they were put out of the synagogue. So you can imagine the humiliation they experienced. You can imagine the sense of rejection that they experienced because these people were basically considered to be outcast. So you think about all of these issues going on and you read the words of Jesus and we can see how powerful they were today. And if this was not enough, there's something else going on that you and I can relate to because people do it today, is that even back then, people were concerned with, I guess, getting something back, reciprocity. And the scripture says, you know, do not invite your friends or your brothers or relatives in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. People today, even today, are concerned about who you network with, right? What are your social contacts? Who are the people that might be able to help you some way in your career or in your life? And that is why the end of this verse that we read just a few minutes ago is so very, very powerful. In contrast to this idea, he says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. They cannot repay you. So what do we take away from these words today? I think all of us need to look very, very hard in the mirror and pray to God to show us the truth about our own life, in terms of how maybe subtly or not so subtly we show favoritism towards some people. That sometimes we idolize the people who are the with-it people, and we tend to look the other way at the people who are the have-nots. We tend to put the it people, whoever those are, at a given time up on a pedestal, and then we look the other way at the people who do not have advantages. We tend to idolize people who are very successful, who are popular, and yet on the other hand, it's easy for us to turn our back and disregard people and not extend favor and kindness to the people in our world who are disadvantaged, to the people who are downtrodden, to the people who exist at the margins of society. We have students attending today. I'll bet it's still true as it was back when I was in school in the Jurassic period, that there are in crowds and out crowds, right? That there are people who are looked up to in school. There are people who are popular in school. There's a crowd that is considered to be desirable to run with, to hang out with. And yet on the other side of the coin, I would even bet today it is still true there are people who are made fun of. There are still people today that others don't eat lunch with and that others do not socialize with. Who are those people? Remember what Jesus has said. Remember what he has said. And as adults, who are the people that we admire today? Who are the people that we kind of go out of our way to socialize with or to network with at work? The people who might be the people who can help us with our careers. How do we treat the people who are the disadvantaged in this world? How do we treat the people who are the downtrodden? How do we treat the people who exist at the margins of society? In the teaching that we read today, Jesus makes a very special point of lifting up the people in the world that other people have cast aside. Who are those people today? Who are they out there? Who are the ones that the world is looking the other way towards? Who are the ones it's tempting for us simply to treat as if they do not exist? They're everywhere, and we meet them, and we run into them every single day. Most of us like to talk a big game, and we claim that we're living into the words of Jesus, but are we really doing that in the way that we actually put into practice Christ's teaching every day? Who are the people who cannot repay you? I don't think we should ever get to a point where we get cozy and too comfortable, because there's always something more that can be done, but there are many, many things that our church here at Lakewood does that I think reach out to people who really either cannot repay us or have a very limited capacity to repay us. Some of you are aware that for a number of years we've had a relationship with the Matsky Elementary School, which is further into town and somewhat more of an inner city school than some of the schools up in this area. And so we have people in our church that go to Matsky, and they are mentors to those children to help them to do better in school. They give school supplies to the families at the beginning of the year and have other things to reach out to the school as well. Where they live, they're probably not ever going to come to church here and sit in worship. They would have a limited capacity, perhaps no capacity to do anything for us in return. But this is living into the words of Jesus. Every Wednesday afternoon, we have some of our men that have a homeless ministry here at the church. And some Wednesdays, there may just be one or two come by, and others, there may be several. And they come to get a shower. We have a few showers here in the church. And they come to get a hot meal, and they come to wash their clothes. And if they need new clothes, to get clothes. And so it's a way for our people to minister to this population, of which there are many more in this area than we really can possibly imagine. But it's not people who have a great capacity to pay us back. We have people in this room who have been supporting Habitat for Humanity. They go and regularly work on these habitat houses, if you're familiar with it. This allows people who can't afford housing the opportunity to actually purchase a home. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to do that. And these are not people who can pay us back. And yet, it's a way to reach out to them. There are so many other things that we do. We have the Fair Trade store here, the Lake World store, and some of you have bought things there. They're getting their Christmas things. About this time of year, it starts getting bigger and bigger and expanding. They'll probably be moving into Fellowship, into the Asbury, you know, within a couple of weeks with displays. But if you're aware of the concept of it, they make sure that all of the goods they sell, the little items, are fair trade. And in the country where those come from, and the people where those come from, they make sure that either the people who make those goods or the people who are picking the coffee beans or whatever are paid a fair wage for that country, and they're not taken advantage of in terms of how much they get paid for their goods and services. And so all the things you buy in that store, even though they may not cost very much, those have been, the people who made them or provided the labor have been paid for their country a fair wage. We will never see these people. We don't know who they are. And yet it's a way to put into practice the words of Jesus. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. About 20 years ago, I was planning to go on a mission trip to Africa. And the missionary friends that I had over there had a special project. They had a ministry to a group of about 40 people who lived in some very primitive buildings at the edge of town and in a settlement there. And the name of this settlement was the Destitute Camp. You can imagine, these were some of the poorest people in the whole world. They were people, most of whom had been afflicted with leprosy or some other infirmity and basically had been left disabled to the point that they could not work any longer. Country was absolutely, had no resources, they had no social services, no capacity to help these people. Other people had looked the other way. They had absolutely no support. They barely eked out an existence, growing a little food there to eat, and that's all they had. They lived in huts. They cooked on little cans that they had turned into charcoal stoves. The missionaries they took this group on as a project, and they tried to do what they could to them because no one else was caring for the people in the destitute camp. They wanted to give them a gift because they noticed that many of these people had nothing but the clothes on their backs and maybe the can they cooked their food on. That's all they had in the world. They had nothing. And so they wanted to give them some basic items for a living. They wanted to give them a blanket and toothbrush and a cooking pot, utensils, that sort of thing, some soap, you know, the kinds of things that they would help. Each gift bag of these very essential items was going to be about $30, and they needed to raise the money for about 40 of these to give one to everybody who lived in that camp. And there were also some children and grandchildren that lived in the camp with the adults as well. But the missionaries didn't have the money for these gift bags, so my wife decided this would be a family mission project. So one Sunday, here's the scene. She takes our four kids who are young at the time, and she puts them out there with a donation station. I still think there was some attempt to make to kind of ratchet up the emotion. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't want to accuse my wife of anything, but I think she might have smushed a little dirt on their faces and maybe got their hands grimy or something. I'm not sure. And then the expression on their faces, you know, you have to make sure you have the right look, okay? So have you ever watched the commercials where they have the pictures of the dogs in the dog shelters? And you know what those dogs look like? They're all, you know. So I think my kids practice that look. And so here they come out of church, and we're ready, and the money starts coming. So we got the little street urchins, you know, we're giving the money to. $1,400 in one day. It worked. It worked. So we had all the money. We cleaned out Walmart and Academy and bought all the stuff for the gift bags. And we also had enough money to put everything in a shipping barrel and ship it to Africa. They kept it for 2 months until I got there because they wanted me. There was another guy in the church that went with me. They wanted us, they wanted to have a special worship service where we could actually give the gift bags to the people in the destitute camp. They met that day under kind of a covered pavilion, and some of the people had to be helped in because they couldn't walk on their own. They had a list of everyone in the camp, and when it was time, they called out each name. If the people could walk, they came forward, and I gave them their gift bag. They had a big smile on their face. If they couldn't walk, I took the gift bag to where they were sitting and gave it to them. It was a happy day. When we finished distributing all the gift bags, there was a musician there, a guest musician, and they had a little keyboard, Eric and Christy. I think it was something you could buy at $69 at Toys R Us. And they didn't have electricity. They were running this keyboard with a car battery. I don't know how they did it, but they had jumper cables somehow, and they were powering this little electric keyboard. And someone started to play music. All the children got up and began to dance. On that day, I saw people who had lost their fingers clapping their hands. I saw people who had lost their toes stomping their feet. My friends, our Lord Jesus Christ has said that one day in the kingdom of heaven, there is going to be a party just like that. Isn't it time you and I expanded our own personal guest list? Isn't it time we helped to get the party started? Lord, open our eyes to those that we see, the disadvantaged, the marginalized, the poor, those who have not. Lord, help us not only to notice them, but to love them, to be kind to them, and generous with them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.